Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Sorry about yesterday. Let me just get that out right away here. That was a weird one.
No apology necessary.
I assume you guys went into depth about what actually happened to me.
No, not really.
No,
it wasn't. No, I didn't. I didn't really. Well, I didn't have a great, really clear sense of what happened to you from Joe's eyewitness account. And
what did that sound like?
I also felt like HIPAA laws. I really didn't want to violate anything. I didn't want to offer up any medical analysis on your situation without your consent.
Know what's
so
in this?
I felt a little awkward about that.
Know what's in this Yeti cooler, by the way, Joe, that I'm holding up?
Bourbon.
HIPAA. Not telling you. HIPAA. Going to have to use that one.
Nice.
That was a weird one. We talked to Sal. Maybe it was something Sal said. I haven't figured out exactly what the cause was. We talked to Sal, and then I got up at, it would have been 3:50 yesterday, give or take a minute, and I went out to make coffee. Sometimes Joe would have done that. Sometimes we somehow managed to get through the day without it. Yesterday was, why don't I go do that? And in the middle of that, I started to get dizzy, and by the time I got back in here, 3 minutes later, I told Joe, I could not even stand up without holding the wall. So I sat down, we did a 90-second segment on chicken wings with Kevin Adams coming up, and I could not see the clock in focus right in front of me. That's 10 feet away.
That's
and just
good,
like
man.
Stomach sick, right? I don't know what this is. And really right. Sweaty.
Uh-huh.
So we go to commercial, I tell Joe, who tells you, I gotta go. I don't know, maybe I'll get better, I'll update you, but I needed to get some air or just I don't know what. I think you remember the place. There's a big long staircase to get down to the first floor, and I am tightly holding on.
Let me close my eyes and see if I can envision this staircase. It's been a while.
That would be fun actually, before it is when you end up coming back in here for you to try to name things about this facility. See if you could do it. Right, Joe? I wonder how well he would do it, remembering things about this room or after years in here.
Is that painting always out there out in the lobby? Is that new?
There's a painting in the lobby that reminds me of the Bills logo.
Oh.
That's been there for years. Part of it, anyway. So I'm just holding on to the railing all the way down the steps. I'm sweating and I'm stomach sick. I go outside and there are these two little steps into the parking lot. And I see Sue O'Neill. And I'm thinking to myself, I really hope she doesn't see me right now because I am like gonna faint or something.
Yeah.
I was hoping I haven't talked to her today, but I was going to, like, if I ran into her, I was like, did you happen to see me out there? Because I took the small step down, the first small step down to the parking lot, and like my knees buckled. I just was way off. Oof. And then get to my car, open the car door. It's hot in the car, right?
Of course, yeah. Right.
80 degrees, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
You need to fire up that remote starter before you got out there.
But. Yeah, if I could have been able to do that functionally, I may have actually done that, but that wasn't going to happen. So then this isn't going to work. Over to the back to the toward the building, the picnic table. There's a picnic table there. Nobody's there. Like I saw Sue, and that was it.
Nobody's, well, no, nobody's ever there.
There was a guy actually who I passed walking back toward the building who looked like you. I'd never seen him before. So I sit at the, I probably had a fleeting thought, is this all real at that moment?
Right. Why is Bulldog here?
Who's Bulldog? What is going on? Yeah. Sit at the table, call my wife, please come get me. So at this point, I text you guys, like, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
And by the time it took her to get here, like, she was in the city, so almost half an hour, I felt better. And I said, why don't you just follow? I'll try. I think I can drive. Why don't you just follow me home? And I have not been dizzy again, but I'm sort of bracing for it.
Like, yeah, right.
You know, because I really don't know.
Yeah.
I had lunch yesterday. Like, I've never had. I don't think I hit my head anywhere. Yeah. I mean, I'm running through the symptoms, and I'm going, I don't know what is going on. So.
Well, we better keep an eye on him, Joe. Keep an eye on our boy.
Focusing, yeah, on how he's walking a little bit more than I was when the hip problem was going on.
Symptoms draft, by the way, coming up later. Symptoms
right,
draft.
Right. This
I'll take headache.
You know, I'm sure it's not the same thing, but this reminds me of I think prior to like all the lockdown stuff, we were still doing Sabres games at the arena. And there was an afternoon where we were in the middle of talking to Rob Ray at 4 o'clock, and I got really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as Rob got up, I scurried. I didn't say anything to you. I ran to the bathroom, and I got sick. I am not one who throws up from really. I mean, if I get really, really sick, I throw up. But like, I'm not one who drinks too much and throws up. Like, it's just not. I'm not a puker, you know. Like, I keep it in. And I went to the restroom that day, and it was just like. It was awful. I'm like, I came back. I'm like, I got to go home. Like, this is not.
Yep.
And it was the same kind of thing. I was dizzy while we were talking to Rob. I couldn't really focus. And then I got nauseous. And then I went home. And I was out. I think I was out the next day, too. I was down for a bit. So I'm glad you bounced back so fast. But sometimes it comes out of nowhere.
Me, too. Like, from what I read about it, if that happens again, it's the hospital.
Yeah.
Like, that. This is not. It would not be. One you just want to rest off. Last night I kind of did that, but
yeah.
I don't know.
We'll
so that's the update.
Tempt fate again by having Sal on at 3:30.
Yeah,
today.
I know.
That's what brought it on yesterday.
That is called getting right back on the horse.
I hope we get through Sal and everything's okay because we've got a fantasy guest at 4, and I can't carry that without you. I was okay sitting here listening to Kevin Adams talk and then sort of getting it together after that, but fantasy guests are going to be tough for me. I don't know. Joe's there. I can lean on Joe.
Back on the Sal horse. How did it go with Adams?
You know, it.
I read quotes.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I don't think anything really new. You know, he reiterated that, you know, they don't feel there's a deadline. And I didn't really feel like there was anything that was, you know, like headline worthy. Because I was expecting him to sound like he sounded. I think most people who are paying attention would have expected him to say what he said about the Eichel trade potential. So to me, it really wasn't that newsworthy. But what stood out to me, and I was thinking of, it was funny, I tweeted about this last night, and then a caller who calls us, I don't know, pretty regularly, tweeted back at me like I called you guys and asked this yesterday, and I'm like, I know, and I don't think I like how I answered it or how I responded when he brought it up. But what stood out to me from the Adams presser yesterday was just how casually the medical gets just pushed aside. Like Adams says, there's no change there, status quo. And I know that he's been asked the questions, but it's the end of July now. Right? Like, what strikes me, and this is what the caller brought up to us the other day, and I think we, you know, I know I said, well, I don't know, I heard he's skating. I'm not that worried about his neck. But if it is still an issue, I think it's becoming really hard to ignore that he hasn't pushed for a resolution through an arbitrator, and that the Sabres haven't, like, declared him healthy, or, like, everyone has something to gain by him. I think he has something to gain by proving he's healthy, because that will help facilitate a trade, you'd think. The Sabres have something to gain by proving that he's healthy to facilitate the trade and get the best value they can. And both sides are just sort of dug in where they were when this all started back in May, and there seems to be no timeline for a resolution, and that's starting to get kind of glaring to me. I don't understand why there isn't some push to get that straightened out, well, either from his end or their end.
I remember the phone call, and I'm pretty much in the same place, which is to say, I feel like maybe the only logical conclusion, perhaps why this is sort of a puzzle, is that it doesn't matter. It's not really something that matters in the equation. I mean, if there were, I think this is a little different than I've put it other times. I think if there were more public discourse about this, quote, controversy, I think Eichel's people would be out there, you know, like, he's fine or whatever. Like, if, because he wants to be traded. So if they felt that this was in the way of that, I think they would be out there trying to make that statement. So I'm assuming that on the inside, it's not a thing. I think if this isn't exactly what you said, I think both sides benefit from the belief in the public that the injury is why this all is happening, when it might not be at all. It might be sort of a convenient way of bringing on separation.
I've definitely suspected that all along, and I think we've even both at different times said as much.
Like,
that,
what
that it could be that,
yeah. If he's skating, he's running some additional risk of furthering the injury. Which, like, in his situation, whether he wants to play for another team or the Sabres, like, you wouldn't do that unless you were comfortable. You just wouldn't. You would not risk your future, you know. And I'm only speaking in generalities. I have to be. But I just think, like, there are things you would not be doing. And who brought on the story of his skating? Wasn't it his side that did that?
So, it was Jody, you have it. Like, how was that phrased?
It was the agent through John Vogel, but I don't remember exactly how it was phrased.
Okay. He's feeling fine and skating, I think, or feeling great and skating, or something to that effect is what was reported.
We'll see what happens, but I would recommend don't lose sleep over it. I mean, I think that what we've got here is that the Sabres put, understandably, a high price on Eichel. And it wasn't met. And if it turns out that his injury is such that in the future we hear, and probably this is going to be easier to get to if he is traded first, but we get to some sort of like a development in that that isn't he's okay, that would surprise me, right? Like
are you suggesting that this isn't an issue and that the Sabres know he's fine and that other teams in the league would know that too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there a hole in that?
I just
pardon me for not separating those two.
It's okay. I guess I'm not. Yeah, thank you. You know, you did almost faint yesterday. I don't know. I'm not sure that makes sense. Like the injury situation is definitely what has been used as the vehicle to get him to a trade. There's no question about that. And that's not doubting the truth of the injury. It's just saying like it was convenient to attach this disconnect with the organization. You know, I think this definitely was said by me right like the day it happened. Like, this is a way for him to say, get me out of here without saying, get me out of here. Right. And athletes very rarely want to do that because they, even their last bastion of support dries up. Then, like, no one's going to defend him if he says, I don't want to be there anymore. Like, pointedly. Maybe they would because of the state of the Sabres. I mean, that's maybe not a given with this team, like it is maybe with most teams. So I buy that part of it, but I guess I'm not entirely sure why teams would be balking at the price that's being asked if they know he's healthy.
Because I think there are answers to that. I mean, there are. We've had those conversations. Like, he wouldn't be everybody's favorite idea. His money, his cap, and his money, if those can be two separate things, but they don't need to be, right? Like, some teams that are rebuilding teams may not be interested just right off the hop. I don't know. Are there questions about his character? Like, you have a league here where teams are very careful and guarded with their first-round picks and their top prospects. We've seen the Sabres for a decade, if not five, being in discussions with teams about getting rid of someone good for their best prospect. And I mean, I can think of several examples probably off the top of my head, the Islanders, the Blues, where like, oh, let's take a look at their list. And like, oh, well, those guys aren't coming. You know, teams don't want to trade those top guys, and they don't want to trade first round picks. And the Sabres wanted both in a trade here. So I just feel like it doesn't have to be about his neck, you know. Okay. Why there hasn't been a trade yet? The Sabres are constantly, they might think this on their own, and then they would also constantly be hearing about, don't give him away. He's a high end player. Like, the salary and the production speaks for itself. You don't. They're perhaps also scarred. This is really the owner who could be scarred by O'Reilly and other moves that he bought into that blew up in their faces. So,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say my prediction is it gets done. The only thing about yesterday that sort of stands out to me is I feel like the occasion of the press conference represents some sort of closure to the period that led up to it. You know,
right? It feels like the trade hasn't happened yet, and now we go dark.
Yeah, like
a little bit, right? Like
they don't trade him today after having that yesterday.
Right. Probably not. Like, I have not felt and again, this doesn't have to be right. Jeff Skinner was traded in early August, right, in a normal year. So that was, you know, a month after everything settled down, or more than a month after everything settled down in the busy season of the league, and then the Jeff Skinner trade happened. So, you know, the window is always open, but it's pretty rare that there are moves. Maybe because this is such a massive one, you know, it will create its own season, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I don't agree with the premise that at least any longer they need the injury divide as a reason to trade him. Like everyone knows they want to trade him. Everyone knows Eichel doesn't trust them. So if the Sabres want to tell us that their doctors have checked him and rest and rehab worked, I think that would be good for them and good for the trade market. And Eichel, to me, no longer has to hide behind the disconnect about the injury. Like, his agents said before the draft, or maybe right after the draft, every conversation we're having is predicated on him being traded soon.
Okay.
Everyone knows that now.
The injury,
The
injury was only a catalyst for the trade ask from his side. Like, the Sabres didn't need it. The Sabres don't need to change the story, one. Two, the trade market is what it is, but we're not always going to be privy to what the conversations actually sound like. And one reason, for right or wrong, maybe wrong, but one reason why I feel the way I do on this is that, I mean, we've got Elliot and Darren Dreger on the station, every week. They come on every week, and this is the first topic every week. And it just has not overall sounded like you have a problem here. That
this week it did with Elliot. Like he brought up the neck the yesterday more than I've heard him bring it up.
That's true.
In other weeks,
I would have to agree with that.
That also contributed to me sort of, you know, as I'm making my way through yesterday's show, I just sort of kept circling back to that phone call we took the day or two before, and just thinking about like what. and how flippant Adams was, and no one questioned him about it. It's just like, we're just moving on. That status quo. Like, well, wait a minute. You know, like, what happened to the timeline? We'll have more for you at the end of May or June or whenever that was. Like, I can't even keep it straight. We are weeks beyond when their idea for how he should proceed should have borne fruit, so to speak. And I just don't understand. I guess suspicious is a word I want to use. It makes me suspicious about everything here. Like, how seriously is he hurt? Does he really need this surgery? Do they not think he's really hurt? Is that why they're not talking about? And they don't want to say that because they don't want to damage
right.
his credibility to such an extent. Like, are they sitting around going, he doesn't need this surgery. This is a joke.
Well,
this is his way to get out of here.
Like,
if that's what they think, then maybe that explains it.
I think they'd be completely in the right to not even go into that publicly.
Right.
You know,
sure.
Because
that's an explanation I would accept.
If it's not his neck, then it's his attitude. Like,
yeah,
in that scenario, in that equation, one or the other is a problem.
Right.
And so either one could make it harder for them to get a trade that they want. It's still, again, we'll just have to see what happens. Like, I am not worried about his injury at all when it comes to this, but I am worried about the possibility that he's still on the team by the start of the year. And it won't be settled. It won't be settled until a move happens. But, man, that is just – I think that is not ideal for them. And, you know, maybe someday we'll get some long-form article on what the offers were and how close they were, and you'll get Ristolainen for Ehlers a year later, and you'll hear – you'll hear those – I expect that we'll get a lot of that over time, but it's just – it's not done.
Yeah.
So it's hard to know all of this, but, well – It's disappointing. No matter how it's going, really.
I would have lost a huge bet last Friday at this time if we had bet, or I don't know if you would have even taken the bet that we would be sinking our teeth into. We would not be having this conversation at all. We would have already digested who they got. Maybe we'd be talking to guys from those markets. You know, whoever they get on to get scouting reports on them, or prospects guys to tell us about the guys they got or something like that. But, like, we would not be having this conversation because we'd already be past it and on to, like, how did Josh Allen look today at day three of Bills training camp, because this is old news.
Oh, I need to
and
know
here
that.
We are. We're still just sitting in it.
I need to know how he looked at practice so I can adjust my rankings for the season.
Right.
And make new bets. Well, I know a lot of people do live and die with that stuff. It's usually good news, right? It's usually like, wow, you should have seen this one. That was yesterday. Sal Capaccio, who made me sick yesterday, apparently.
He'll love to hear that.
He made me sick. Or it was either Sal or you guys. You guys were in the conversation. Joe's thinking, like, did I say one word? I don't know if I did. Could have been a trade offer I got.
Trivia
never know
answer.
What's set you off.
I don't know.
So Wes Saxton.
Wes Saxton, 3 days in a row for Wes. Sal has a tweet just now on an update on vaccines and rules, and so we'll find out about that. Also, today's Bills news and the Carson Wentz injury. In Indianapolis, there's late news on that just in the last few minutes. So we'll do some football next. Adam Rank, fantasy football for NFL.com, NFL Network. We'll have him on today. And, you know, the draft season is kind of starting now, so that'll be fun. And your calls, maybe, 803-0550. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Welcome back. Thanks for listening. Happy Friday. It is going to be chilly tomorrow. I'm just seeing Joe tweet about Joe weather.
Love it. 50.
50.
What? Wait, what?
In the morning.
Going golfing.
I'm getting... this has not been a good July for the 100 degrees.
No, you're halfway there.
Terrible,
no.
Terrible July.
Might have had a great start.
I've got next year, but like this year has not been, this has not been encouraging.
Sal Capaccio on the Westher Hotline. Sal, what is Sal Capaccio weather?
Ooh, you know, today wasn't, I need it warmer than today. I like it hotter rather than cooler, but I'll take like 75. Even, you know, I'd rather have it 75 or 80 than 70. And I actually even prefer it maybe even over 80. I like hot weather. I'm good. I could golf in really hot weather and sweat. I like that, actually.
I would have put you on at least 80. In fact, recently I did say to somebody when it was in the 80s, it's Sal Capaccio weather. I did say that to somebody.
Same here. The temperature to me is not as, like, if it's 85 or 75, fine. Just get me out of the wind. If I want to ride my bike, the wind bothers me. If I want to go out on a boat, the wind bothers me. Like, just give me calm and anywhere in, like, 75 to 90, and I'm fine.
100%. I'm right with you, Bulldog. And in fact, because that's one of the things I really first look at a lot of times. Now, obviously, when I'm, you know, going to games and the weather, I look ahead and I have to pack for rain or snow or whatever. But I'm super interested in the wind factor because it matters to the football game. And I really, really hate playing golf in windy conditions. I enjoy calm conditions and generally hot. By the way, I'm looking at the long range here, guys. We're okay. We'll be in the 70s and then back to the 80s probably by next weekend and early, few days after that.
I disapprove of you guys and your lack of fondness for the wind. It doesn't speak well of you.
Mm.
No, you want that action. You want the wind. You want it to be more interesting. No. Games are more interesting. Walking around even is more interesting. Yesterday, for instance, I had no chance, if it's windy out, walking out of the building to my car since I couldn't stand up straight. Still, I say I'm pro wind. Well,
you're a loser.
I am.
The wind sucks. The wind is the worst. I hate
the wind. The wind is the worst.
Wind is the worst.
I suck. You're six. The wind is the worst.
You're the worst. The only thing worse than the wind is you.
That's it.
There, that's what we're going to do.
Capaccio weather.
Before we get too far into this, I'm just noticing, Sal, you are so popular. We've now got like three sponsors for your segments here, so I want to mention this before we get into anything else so I can fit the other two in hopefully effortlessly without all this these declarations. Sal gives you the inside scoop and takes you behind the scenes of Training Camp 2021. Sal will go live on WGR's Facebook page throughout Training Camp. Behind the scenes at Training Camp, presented by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? So, how's that going for you, Sal?
I
don't think it's me. I think it's the Bills and Training Camp that is popular. But people want to know what's going on with their team, man. And I'll actually be doing that Facebook Live a little bit later after I jump off with you guys sometime during their show, so people are aware of that.
I got to slip in one more weather thing. So, Capaccio weather, Joe weather. There was a term that Kennedy's aides used called Kennedy weather. When it was like sunny and nice, you know, Kennedy weather, they would call it on the. So they're in the morning of his assassination. They're in Fort Worth and it's raining. And he does a speech outside a municipal building in Fort Worth, Texas, in the rain. Actually, actor Bill Paxton as a child was at that speech. So he's giving the speech in the rain, and then they get on Air Force One. They'd made three stops in Texas the day before. This is four, and then their fifth and final stop is Dallas. I'm not sure if it's final. They're on they go to Dallas, and the sky is clear. And they're on the plane. They're like, Kennedy weather, which meant top down on the car. Because they're not going to ride around in that car with the top down. It was raining. So that's what they called it. All right. What's new with the Bills? Sorry, everybody. What's new with the Bills, Sal? What did we learn today? I want to get to that memo, which might be interesting, too. There's like more vaccine news today, I know. But what stood out from today's events?
Well, we'll start with what's new. They did sign a tight end today, Bug Howard. He had been with the team on a tryout basis earlier this offseason. That could be in response to Jacob Hollister having a back issue and being day-to-day. I'm sure it is actually in response to that. They also signed two offensive linemen, Tyler Gauthier and Marquel Harrell. That is, I'm sure, in response to both Deion Dawkins and Ike Butker still being on the COVID-19 list, so for numbers there. So that's what's new with the team. What we learned today, more people stepping up for competition, I would say. To me, a few guys that we don't normally talk about that really kind of stood up. And I mean, one we do a lot, and that's Jake Kumerow. I mean, Jake Kumerow, I think, has had a really strong camp. I think he flashed today for me. I think he has a really good shot to make this team. It's going to be really interesting how all of that shakes out. I don't think Tanner Gentry has much of a shot, but I really liked him today. I thought Tanner Gentry did a nice job. Now, it helps when you get reps because Cole Beasley has a vet rest day, and Stephon Diggs had what I'd call a half vet rest day, it seemed like. He kind of went out and didn't take any reps about halfway through, but we were told, you know, there was nothing wrong with him. He was still out there watching. But those were two guys on offense. And on defense, we talk a lot about Wallace and Dane Jackson. I think Rashad Wildgoose, the rookie corner, he seems to be around the ball and making plays a lot.
All right.
How has Dane Jackson looked so far?
Up and down. It's interesting because, you know, we'll talk, you know, media members and what we see and, oh, did you see, you know, Dane got beat there or Levi made a play there or got beat there. And I will tell you, I think that, like when I miss something or see something and I'm talking with Thad Brown or Matt Perino or something like that, we'll all kind of debate like if a guy had a good day or a bad day. And it seems like that's a guy that we're always kind of not sure of. Like he had a good play here and somebody might say, well, I saw him get beat over there. So I would say he's been up and down. I think Levi's had a stronger camp from my observance so far, my observations. You know, I like Dane. I'm not saying he's been bad. Anyway, he's made plays, but I think he's also gotten beaten a few times too.
You went from a bug to a wild goose there, by the way, in that first...
Nice.
That first rundown. So before we move on, what are the plans for the weekend? Like, what's ahead?
So tomorrow is the open practice inside Highmark Stadium. Fans can attend. A ticket is required, but it doesn't cost anything. You can go to buffalobills.com/training camp. I'm not sure. I'm guessing there are still tickets left, but you can get up to 6 tickets per person. If you want to attend tomorrow, that's at 10 a.m. That's inside the stadium. There's only 3 of these. It's this Saturday. That's tomorrow. It's next Saturday at 10 a.m. again. And then it's at noon on September 1st, which is a Wednesday. So, you know, if you want to see the team as a fan, member of the general public, these are your only 3 chances, you know, before any games start, before any preseason. So that's what's on the docket there. By the way, before I go on to the next thing, we had a fight today.
All right.
It was kind of a highlight of the day, I guess, right? I mean, it's weird to say it that way, but it was a highlight of the day. And it was a pretty good one. It was Ed Oliver and Spencer Brown. And Spencer Brown is 6'8", 311 pounds. And Ed goes up to his chest, basically. He's not the biggest guy in the world, for his position. And there were punches thrown. They got locked up after a play. And then Ed basically ripped off Spencer Brown's helmet. Brown then dove on him. He like jumped on him, and then everybody just piled in, and it was wild. And then boom, everybody's back to where they go and go on to play football.
So Oliver say, "We're brothers. We're fine." Imagine if he said the opposite of that. Imagine if he said, "I hate this guy."
You know, I'm gonna take that guy's knee out tomorrow.
I hope he gets cut. I'm sick of him. I'm sick of his dirty tactics. I outrank him. I'm a first round pick. I outrank him. Sorry, dude.
Well, not we don't want to encourage this behavior, Sal, because it sounds like we'd be encouraging fighting, but this will qualify as the Best of Bills training camp today, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Yeah, I saw Oliver say, we'll probably go have lunch together or something after right?
Yeah. So look, I mean, that's what happens. And I specifically watched if those two got matched up again, and they were on the field again not too long after that, and you know, they just did their job. So, yeah, these things happen. You know, people ask me all the time about, you know, coaches, if they want this, they don't want this, is it good or bad? I don't think any coach wants to see their players fighting. It could always cause an injury, but they understand it's going to happen, and when it does, boom, okay, it happened. Stop it. Let's go. Let's move on. So, you know, that was one of those deals, and Ed said it's friendly competition. Yeah, we're out here playing hard, and you know, obviously, and he also laughed and said I had to be the first one to fight at camp, like always. I don't know if he was last year; I don't remember, but that's what he said.
But there was a fight at mini camp, so he wasn't the first in that.
That's right, and he wasn't the one who was in that one.
It's just funny; it's always the same. It's always like, no, we're buddies. As if you would get along with every player that well. Like, there's so many guys over there. And you're banging into them, physical, it's heated. Anyway, fine. Not a story anymore. All right. There's new vaccine rules. I think you've looked through it because you were tweeting about it.
Yep.
And so I know you'll correct me if I'm wrong here. The quick look I gave it made me think they're reducing the restrictions on unvaccinated players, like no masks are necessary in practice, that it's sort of a giveaway to the media. And instead, like, you still have to wear them inside at places where media might not be allowed. How'd I do?
I like it, Mike. I thought the same thing. And I'll also say, I think it could also be in response to the NFLPA's pushback and J.C. Tretter saying they did not like this whole wristband thing. Like, the Browns will not do that. And not every team is doing that. But the teams that are, this is not right. Like, this isn't required. So I think this could be in response to that as well, which is, let's stop identifying. In any general sense, let's stop identifying the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated players. The memo that went out today says that if you are an unvaccinated player, you no longer have to wear a mask during practice. However, you still have to wear one during meetings, even if they're on the field outdoors, and during weightlifting, even if you're outdoors weightlifting. But that's pretty much the case. The other part of this, and today we finally got, guys, we've talked about this, we finally got an actual threshold for something for a team. The memo that went out today said the threshold is 90%, not 85, 90, but what 90 is, this is something kind of small, I guess, but 90% for the team will allow, as they put it, cohabitants, people who live in your household, I guess, your family members. If a team is at 90% or higher, family members can join players on the practice field after practice. And they can also be, you know, on the field or at social events at the facility with them. That includes unvaccinated players, by the way. As long as the team is at 90% or higher, everyone's in the same boat then, and you can have family on the field and at social gatherings inside the facility together.
And would you anticipate that that could be something that would motivate players who haven't wanted to get the vaccine to get it now?
I do. I don't know how many, but absolutely. There are enough players who have their families and they matter for them to kind of go on the field with them and hang out, you know, go to an event with them. They don't see them as much as they want to during this time of year, especially. So, hey, come to, you know, come to practice. And, you know, after practice, I can run around with my son or daughter on the field and I can see my wife or my girlfriend. And, you know, I do. I think that that would matter to some people. I don't know exactly how many, but I would say this is definitely done as some sort of incentive for players.
Yeah. You know, while we're on the subject, I noticed, and like Mike raises an interesting possibility here, and you said you agree with the thought anyway, that it's a way to keep everyone from identifying who's vaccinated and who's not. I meant to ask you, through 2 days, and I didn't really see much of the footage from today's media sessions, but there were, I believe, Emmanuel Sanders didn't have a mask on. I believe Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, Cole Beasley did have masks on when they met with the media. I'm wondering if that is that a giveaway? Is that a player who's wearing a mask? Is that a clue that they're unvaccinated?
It's a good question because that's also in this memo. No longer do any players have to wear a mask with the media as long as they are I think it's 20 feet or something. There's a okay. Actual. It's actually the foot is in there, like 20 feet, I think, the distance. But yes, yes and no, Bulldog, because so if a guy did not have a mask on when he's talking with us, I think we can all kind of assume he is vaccinated. But if he did have a mask on, I don't think we can assume he's not. Right. Some guys just might want to wear a mask.
Right.
You know? So I'd be careful of that. But right. I always also am trying to be careful of the other side, too, because it's such a moving target. And there could be some sort of loophole that I didn't see. And I'm like, oh, this guy didn't wear a mask. It means he's unvaccinated. Or, I mean, he's vaccinated. Then you're like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe there's, you know, some loophole there. But this was part of it, too. The memo today basically says in-person interviews with the media, as long as they're socially distant, the players do not have to wear masks anymore.
I mean, it sounds to me like if you really want to have team unity, all guys should wear them always. Then you protect the guys, if that's what you want. You protect the guys who are unvaccinated from being a story for it. It's one thing you could do. I'd like to think that sort of the way the world is going would be motivation for players. I think we've had perhaps a sense of complacency about this. And now there's more bad news on a kind of a regular basis lately. And so maybe someone thought, well, it's kind of over. And maybe now the same person thinks that might have been mistaken. So
did you guys, I'm sorry, yesterday, I don't think we got a chance, and I wanted to make sure that I got this out there because I've been reporting and we've been talking about the fact that unvaccinated players could not travel on the team charter. And that is not the case. And it's not just us and me, like many media outlets have been reporting it because that's what the memo basically stated that Tom Pelissero tweeted out back on June 16th. But I got clarification from the league yesterday That did not apply to players. All players, vaccinated or unvaccinated, are allowed on the team charter during training camp and preseason. I'm guessing it's going to be during the regular season, too. It's tier one and tier two staff who are unvaccinated, except with a religious or medical exemption, that would not be allowed on the team charter.
All right, thanks. Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Let's quickly talk about the Carson Wentz injury. Hurt yesterday at practice. It's a foot injury. He's going to a specialist. Every time, it's always the top guys who tweet these updates, and they always use the word noted. Noted foot specialist. Like, it should be on the guy's business card. Noted foot specialist. he's noted. Who are you? What do you do? I'm a noted foot specialist. So that's not great for them. No. That might mean miss games into the season. They're at Jacob Eason and Sam Erlinger behind Wentz. They could be in the trade market if they have reason to think this could take them into the season, right? I mean, this is a team with playoff aspirations, not expectations. Sal,
could
how do you
bad
read
for the Eagles? Could be bad for the Eagles too, right? They've got round pick that turns into a one if he plays 75% of the snaps.
Right. So how do you think the Colts play it?
Probably wait and see on Wentz. I don't think they have to panic unless we find out today that he's like really out for a significant amount of time. From what I'm reading, indefinite doesn't necessarily mean that. It's, you know, that they just don't know when he's going to return. I think right now, though, they'll probably take a wait-and-see approach. But if they find out that he's out for a significant amount of time, yeah, I think they have to do a little shopping and see what's out there. You know who'd be really nice for them right now? Jacoby Brissett. He went to Miami. That would be a really nice option to have if you're the Indianapolis Colts right now. They have a good team. They're going to contend for not only the division, but, you know, beyond, and winning playoff games. And this would be a big blow for them if they have to not have their starting quarterback. And look, I think you and I might kind of agree that, like, I don't know if Wentz is really the guy that's going to be like their savior for them necessarily, or going to have this sort of season that elevates them. But you can't go to Jacob Eason or Sam Ellinger either. To me, I think that's, you know, that's a worse option, obviously.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the wheels just sort of spun in my head, and I didn't have this thought when I first saw the Wentz news, and it's not, you know, it's not dire right now. So maybe they don't have to do anything desperate at this point. But, like, would there ever be a scenario where you could imagine the Bills considering trading Mitchell Trubisky?
If they got a first or second round pick, I think they would consider it. Anything other than that, I don't think they would. This is actually a good question. It's been debated a little bit on social media today, Bulldog, too, that people have wondered since this news came out. And,
okay.
And I'll say, Joe Marino from the Lockdown Network that we've had on, you know, he said, and I agree with him, that this team, you want Mitchell Trubisky. Like, this team's going, they want to win a Super Bowl. Right. And, you know, you can't, can you imagine the Bills trading away Mitch Trubisky for a mid-round pick to the Indianapolis Colts, and then Josh Allen misses four games, and the Bills go 2-2 in those games, and they miss the playoffs because of it, or don't get home field advantage because of it? I think we'd all be wondering, why did you do that? Like, this is a chance to win the Super Bowl. The player you have to get you through that situation as insurance, even if he doesn't play, is much more valuable than a mid-round pick.
Certainly with a mid-round pick, no question. You answered it. Like, a first or a second. Like,
yeah.
That's, like, to me, that's desperate measures for Indianapolis, and I guess I wouldn't want to rule it out. I mean, they might feel like they've got a team that can contend, and if they were in real trouble at quarterback, maybe they would do such a thing. So I'm just wondering if we'd all be like open-minded about that.
A second-round pick for me,
they do it.
A second-round pick for me would be a snap call. He's not even good. Like, you know, that's a very specific scenario you laid out, and that could happen, or they could, you know, lots of different scenarios could happen, and I just, like, if I'm the Bills, I recognize the value of it. I think part of why they did it might have been for this scenario, right? Like, it's something that we talked about at the time where, you know, you can trade them if somebody gets desperate. You have to define what desperate is, what it means.
Right, right.
That's right, Mike. That could very well be true. I will tell you, though, through OTAs and minicamp, like, there is a clear separation between Mitch Trubisky and the other two quarterbacks behind Josh Allen. Like, if Josh Allen went down, from what I've seen so far, if Mitch Trubisky had to come in, I'd say, you know what, they can win games. If it was Jake Fromm or Davis Webb, it would be really tough.
Well, then maybe I try to trade a third for someone else's backup, if Indy will give me a second for Trubisky. I think the first name I thought of was Foles. Like, I would think that the Bears would want to move him. Maybe his contract is so problematic that they just can't. But they have Dalton and, of course, Fields. Like, what do they need Nick Foles for? The Jets have been rumored for him because the Jets have no NFL experience on their quarterback depth chart. None. So maybe he goes somewhere else. But, you know, there's an Eagles tie with the Colts.
It would be amazing if Foles went and took Wentz's
job. How about Garoppolo?
Just incredible.
Garoppolo, there's not that Eagles piece. He's maybe better, but that's debatable. Mm-hmm. Maybe he isn't. There's a lot of money there, too. And if the 49ers really do want a veteran on the field week one, then there goes that. But I'm not sure they do. That is how they're talking so far, which may not mean anything because that's normal. That's typical. So Garoppolo, Minshew in Jacksonville.
That's in division, but
there are candidates. Yeah. You know, Watson,
loser of the Broncos competition. I mean, yep. I'm not saying it's something that you have to go out and do, but I mean, there are options, like you said.
Bortles is now a free agent. Barkley.
Yeah, that's right.
Phil Sims. I mean, there's definitely names. if Foles goes to Indianapolis and starts week one, do I get Foles points? Or do I still get Wentz points? Because if I get Foles points, then I win.
Oh, boy.
And in turn, if it's Eason, do you lose the Wentz points?
If it would be the same thing, maybe. I think maybe we should go by the depth chart. And I think maybe Wentz would still be on number one on the depth chart.
Didn't we make a rule that if a guy starts only because of injury, he can't count?
I think we made a rule that I would decide.
That's great.
Didn't we, Joe?
Don't recall that.
Joe is starting to feel dizzy.
I have not paid any attention to this thing because I feel like I was out right from the start. There was no way I was ever going to catch up.
I feel like
I am not a resource here. I have no idea.
Number one on the depth chart seems like the right thing.
Yes.
Because he's still the starter. He's not – like the what was the game in the first place? The game was trying to predict what people's quarterback moves
what
were
going to teams
be.
Do. Right,
yeah.
And what the Colts did was Wentz. What if he's out for the year?
I don't know. That's a tough call.
Same thing?
All right. It's tougher.
We'll figure out a way. But Sal's the presumptive winner based on what's happened so far because of Ryan Fitzpatrick. 17 points going into his 17th year. Foles is going into his 10th, by the way. Wentz is 6th, if you want the numbers on that. Okay. Sal, big weekend ahead. You're going to watch Joey Gallo and Rizzo, right? Play for the Yankees. You're going to fit that in somehow?
Against the Marlins.
I
don't know. I don't know what to think about the Yankees anymore. They're not that good. They're very frustrating to watch. They have actually played much better baseball as of late, except for yesterday. But I just think they're in such a tough division, and it kind of seems like spinning their wheels even getting these guys. I'm not really sure that they can close that gap.
Joey Gallo will wear number 13 for the Yankees, by the way. First to do that since A-Rod. Joe?
All right.
Michael Silver, Wentz foot injury involves a bone and a ligament. Bracing for possible surgery.
Oh.
Colts had been hoping for better news, he added in there.
Man, it moves fast.
Wow. That is tough.
Yeah.
That could be
AFC South. What happens in the AFC South now overall?
I'll tell you, in my opinion, the Colts make any of these moves we talked about, they're a better team than they would have been with Carson Wentz, but I don't think they would say that. I don't think they would agree with that. You guys might not either. You know, Minshew, I think, is a better player than Wentz.
I was pretty bullish on Wentz going there. I thought that he would bounce back with Reich and be good there. So, yeah, I wouldn't agree with that.
Minshew got first team reps in Jacksonville today.
You look out. Sal, nice to talk to you as always. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, guys. Thanks.
There you go. There's Sal Capaccio on our West Hur hotline and his coverage of Bills training camp. All of our coverage of Bills training camp here on WGR is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. And by Jim's Steakhouse, celebrating 40 years of mouth-watering hoagies and chicken finger subs.
We'll put Adam Rank on the spot next from NFL Network. Talking about this Colts news and other fantasy-type stuff. NFL Network analyst Adam Rank when we return. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.